Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. In today's show, True Love, Empower Your Inner Self, I have the pleasure of welcoming your host, Krim G. Kerr, MBA certified trainer, personal coach, and consultant with 20 years of experience in Peoples and Services Administration Management. Currently, she conducts self-love empowerment and motivational seminars. Krim also gives personal coaching sessions to local and international clients on self-love empowerment. Her and her husband own a homeopathic clinic in Malaysia. She is now working toward uplifting and empowering people of all ages. Her intention is to inspire love that brings peace to humanity and Mother Nature. On her show, where she will discuss methods, tools, and use her own personal experience and teachings to help you engage yourself in true love, work with true love energy, help you look within, and work with true love to have and enjoy the bliss of living life. And now I'd like to welcome our host, Krim. Welcome to the show, Krim.
Hi. Hi, Courtney. Good morning. Oh, sorry, good evening.
It's good morning to you. Good evening here.
You know, it's honestly like, oh boy, I forgot. It's evening there. So how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Yes, I'm doing well too. Thank you, Courtney.
Awesome. Well, I know today we're going to talk about Chapter 5 of your book, which is Believing Within. You know, I had a lot of fun reading this chapter. I know we've discussed many chapters of your book so far, 1 through 4, but I really enjoyed this chapter because I thought that it was really empowering. And this is something that anybody can relate to. Anybody can, you know, really dive deep when it comes into their beliefs and, you know, believing within and believing in the power of themselves. So what encouraged you to write about that particular subject? What encouraged you to write about believing within?
Yes, I agree with your statements earlier. It's a very common I believe it's a common energy that everybody can attain. It's some sort of a power. It's a belief that we are aware. It's been there. It's always been there. Okay, as for me, is like over the years that when I found out about true love and, you know, I wasn't really exposed to the belief power that generally it's sort of like something behind to every thought that we have or every action. It came to a stage of a few years after learning and understanding all about love and fear and etc. in life. It's just that my teacher is the one who's always been encouraging me to, he always keep reminding me by saying, Karam, you only need to believe in yourself. And these were the words that is always he used to keep reminding me over the years whenever I go through a certain phase, and he said that it's given and all is taught to you, and it's only now required your belief, thoughts, patterns. So basically this, when I realized that this is a very important tool that we need to aware how can it affect us, and without it I doubt that every our thought and actions will be materialized in the way that we want. So it's a very, very important thing. I don't know how you, I mean, every individual has a different way of understanding what is a belief pattern. It could be a sort of a power. It could be a sort of an energy. It could be sort of anything. So to me, this is a crucial part of loving ourselves because it's sort of a support towards the thought and actions that we want to materialize, as I said earlier, for our successes in life, for a change in our life, to make us aware why we are here today, what is our destiny, what is the purpose of our life, and so on. And that's the reason that I came up with this topic because I know it's very important, and it still is, because during my workshops, and it's one of my very important topic for one of my workshops, which is I've always involved belief patterns into it, because without it, I doubt we can ever understand things in what we are and who we are in our life.
Now, most people don't really understand what a belief is, you know, and I know you talked a little bit about that in the chapter. So, you know, what do you feel is a belief? You know, what would be the definition of a belief? And, you know, what are the normal ones that you think that people tend to kind of believe in? You know, is there ones that we tend to believe a lot easier than, say, others?
Okay, it's a very interesting question because, you know, everyone, like I said earlier, it's like everybody has a different perception and idea towards this word belief. And over these last 14 years, and I have read and also worked on myself, I may not be a scientist that, you know, I do some scientific research on it, but I have been always in search of people, even the scientists, even those scholars that who does this kind of research, and I have come across of many of them. And the more I come across of this, the more I believe that to aware and exercise a belief pattern inside is actually to increase, again, the success of life, or to overcome anything in life, or how do we walk in. Now, coming back to the meaning of it, belief is some sort of a conviction. It's a conviction feeling, and it's a power. It's an energy base that is attached to each thought patterns of the mind. And it works in a sense, it's like, for example, I mean, we have two kinds of people in the world. One is atheists who believe there's God, and one is us who believe, one is atheists who believe there's no God, and one is us who believe the existence of God and power and so on. So you see, on both ends, the power of this conviction, energy, and to convict what your thought patterns, it's so true. Like, for example, the atheists will always believe there is no such thing as God by themselves. And it's true for them. Why? Because it is an energy that they have carried on for them, okay? Unless something come across in the life crucial, which will change the perception of the idea of that belief. Now, for example, and the other hand is like, for example, for us, like we believe there's a hidden power, almighty power, and the universe and law attraction and et cetera is all connected. So we have this belief that we know there's an existing. It's a conviction, it's a convicted feeling towards that thought and awareness. And so that makes it happen. No matter, it's like people do achieve success, people do achieve things in life because it's an attachment to that thought. So I would explain it's an awareness, it's awareness of a feeling that to attach to a thought of the mind. So it becomes what it feels and what it thinks about, or he or she thinks about. Yeah, I hope I've cleared a bit on the explanation of belief, because it's very deep, you know.
True, it is very deep, but in the same sense, I think that you explained it very eloquently. Excuse me, especially because you brought up the point more than once that everybody's beliefs are different. And I think that sometimes we fail to realize that your beliefs might be different than my beliefs and somebody else's beliefs, but that doesn't mean that they're not equally as important, correct?
Exactly. Very true. Very, very true what you think. It's just that when we have this chaos in the world, you know, perceptions among the religion and spirituality, even anything, you know, whatever we dislike and not like, sometimes there's a lot of arguments come. It's all related to beliefs, because everybody, it's in my book, everybody wants to prove their belief system is better and the best than the other. You know, it's like, hey, I believe this is right. So, because why? That generates a power that generates a power to other person, a power of being more powerful than the other person and knowing that the influence is greater than anyone else. So a belief is very, very important for people who want to really, you know, especially I would like to quote and unquote all these politicians. So it's all related to belief patterns. So, yeah, what you just said is right. We have this thing. Everybody wants to do it. But we have to educate each other that everybody is entitled to their belief system and we need to respect to that. And that's very difficult. I know that.
Well, it kind of goes into that whole concept of you believe you're right, I believe I'm right. Who's right?
Yeah.
You know, that happens so often. It's like, you know, even with me and my husband, you know, he's right, I'm right, who's right?
Yes, the basic human, I believe the most basic human breach of understanding one another. So that's why I say when we tend to love ourselves, we tend to like accept and respect. So it makes things easier to respect the other person's belief, even if it's not aligning with us. But we respect and we say, okay, all right, it makes you happy, I'm happy. Yeah.
Now, you know, you bring up the concept of beliefs a lot in this chapter. Do you think that there can be positive beliefs and negative beliefs or a combination of both? And, you know, how can that affect someone, you know, if they have a negative belief or a positive belief? You know, I mean, do you believe that there's a person can have both?
Yeah, it is, you know, because, like, you know, when I was going through my own personal experiences of changing my thought patterns, the way I think till today, and what are my thoughts and actions, sometimes we tend to overlook ourselves and we see the experiences are different. Now, it's kind of going to hit a certain things that what I'm going to say. Like, for example, we're going to talk about criminal here. Now, nobody is born as criminal, right? So, basically, when somebody done a crime, and it's because it's got to relate to their environment, and it's the belief thought patterns of in the family. It's also got to do with their education or anything at all. So basically, they will be carrying some sort of a negative feeling inside their mind, and they have probably we can touch on anger. So when a person is so angry and suddenly they become criminal because of the belief of the anger they have inside, and they know that this is the only way they can do it to get their revenge back. So you see, it actually naturally he or she can turn into a criminal because of that power belief they have. It's like they know evil is works better than good. Like, for example, they know that theft, cheating, this is the only way that we can get wealth in life. So they naturally will do it again and again. Why? Because they really have a very strong convicted feeling and awareness toward that particular thought patterns they have inside their mind since a very long time. So that is where a criminal becomes a criminal and they do all these crimes. So generally it works for them. So you see, like, when it comes to the good side, and that's where if you practice good and you have this good belief system that life is good and, you know, God is great, and you do wrong, it's going to come back to you. You know, you have this kind of thought pattern that's been for a long time. You naturally carry your life in that sense. So it's always fall back to how the way we've been brought up, how the way we've been educated, what are the perceptions around that we are carrying since our childhood. So that makes us who we are. Why? Because it's a conviction. It's just like an awareness. It's the body and the mind feel very comfortable to be the way they are. So you see, a criminal will be very happy to be a criminal person. And a good cemetery will be very happy to be who or she is. So it's according to the pattern of their mind. It's an energy that is attached to that. And it works both ways. And that's the effect of it.
You know, I can kind of go ahead.
No, sorry. I say, I know it's a very strong thing to say, isn't it?
It is, but you know, I tend to kind of believe that sometimes beliefs are inner demons. I know that sounds really off the wall, but sometimes we instill a belief in us so much that it kind of becomes an insecurity or an inner demon. You know, for example, I remember when I was really young and I wanted to be a writer. And I remember, you know, having support from my great-grandmother and my grandmother, and yet my close family, my parents and everybody thought it was hilarious. And they tried to instill this belief in me that I would never be able to accomplish it, that I would never be able to do it.
Right.
And I felt like, you know, at first, like, oh, well, if, you know, these adults are saying I can't do it, then I must not be able to do it. But once I got to the meat of that situation, I was like, no, anything I put my mind to, I can accomplish. You know, I chose not to believe that. But I think so many people have those, you know, inner demon type beliefs of, you know, I'm fat, or, you know, I don't deserve love, or, you know, I'll never get a promotion because this one boss 20 years ago told me I didn't deserve it.
Exactly. What you just said is so profoundly true, you know, Courtney. And yeah, that is what, I mean, it also happened to me. It happened to most of us, why? Because, you know, we allow why? Because it's like, again, it's got to do the attachment of the love of the family or what they say about you is so true. So you tend to take it in. And when you tend to take it in, you allow it to grow inside you. And you know, if those who are taking the negative side, that's it. Your life becomes the way you feel and perceive of yourself. But if you let yourself, you believe that, hey, I got to put my mind and get into this, and I'm going to make sure that I'm going to come out of this. You know what I mean? So it is just that you became who you believe to be. And it's, again, it's all related to your inner self, your awareness. That's where it's like I put it aligned with the true love, because when we love ourselves, we know we want to do this. And we really want it for ourselves. So we will work on it and we will overcome it. Naturally, it will work because the energy will keep evolving until you get there. So I believe you are great yourself. That's, you know, it's just, that's great. Thank you for sharing, Corey. Exactly. I'm so happy you related to the ones that I just tried to explain.
Yes, I can relate. And I think a lot of the listeners can relate as well. You know, we all have a level of belief, and some of them are really awesome and positive. And then, you know, some of them just, I call them useless, but, you know, until we're ready to clear them out, I guess they have their use. But in the same sense, I'm sure you've heard of the concept of the power of the mind. And, you know, if we put our minds to something, we believe it. It becomes true. It becomes our reality. And I think so many times that we don't practice mindfulness. It's so easy to create a belief, you know, without being mindful of that belief and whether or not it's really in our best interests.
Yes. That is so true. You know, it is like for decades we have been exposed. I'll just like to share and to add to that is last year, I know, because I keep doing research about belief, because I know it's very powerful convicting feeling and awareness towards thoughts and patterns. So until today, I just so feel that I need to know more and more and more about it. So recently I found out about a guy named, I believe he was a judge, and he became a sort of a researcher and scientist, and his name is Thomas Trower, and I believe he's a British guy, and you know, it's quite interesting that he was a judge in India for many years in those days, the 19th century, and then when I believe he went back to England or America, I'm not sure, and that's where he started finding out about things about life. It's got to do with the mind and thought. And he came up with his first book on 1902 as a title of Expression of the Journey of Mind and Thought. And then it's just a couple of years ago, 2008, they had we reprint this book is The Hidden Power. And for those who are interested to know more about it, I suggest you can get the book. And this is really, he explains in a sense of how, you know, in a sense of a mind and thought, it's all got to, you can see that how the belief is called, it's an energy, it's a love. And he, know, he himself has stated that how powerful of we believe. If we believe we are love, we are. If we're not, we believe we are not, we are not. So it's just that when I have my book out and so happened I came across his book, I was like, wow. And it's the great thing is just that I just realized that, oh my God, this is 1902. And this God, this man has really had that awareness. And just imagine if it was really exposed earlier to many of us, you know, and that time, I believe the world would be in a different place. But you see, again, that's because that not everyone will have like, I don't believe in all this crap that this guy is saying, it doesn't make sense. Because people is always looking for projections of outside that comes in material sense. But they don't want to focus on the inside, which is non-material, but is the essence of doubt that creates the outside. So we have been all the way, we have been reverse. We've been doing this reverse method of life. We focus outside, then it confirms inside. But you see, now we are growing in this world in a more holistic way, so we are focusing inside. So permanently, we achieve sustaining from outside. So that's where the belief patterns will always work very strongly and continues the life purpose. And in the end of the day, you'll find more contented and self-satisfaction in the end of a journey of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally agree. Now, in the chapter, you did mention exercising the understanding of true love within. How would one do that? How do you exercise, you know, understanding the true love within yourself?
All right. True love is, of course, related to loving ourselves. And one of the things that I have been doing, it's like, I had to put some lines over certain people in my life, certain thought patterns in my life that, for example, I have these people that I really don't want them to be, because they keep reflecting the things of my past or my belief pattern. Like, for example, from childhood, I'm always being criticized that I'm not good enough, or, yeah, she's very, you know, stubborn and brazen, she's very outward and she has her own way of, like, you know, it's just like I've always felt that I was like a child and grown up lady who is like have this sort of very dominating characters in me that it is like people I keep reflecting. So over the years when I keep, you know, going through all this depression and failures and over again, so I have allowed the belief pattern that I'm not good enough, that I'm bad, that I'm bad luck. And, you know, so I had to put a full stop of ongoingly of families or friends that is not aligning to my thought patterns, which is I needed to understand whether, you know, if I keep meeting these people and they're going to keep saying that, oh, yeah, it's not going to work, just like you're saying, you know, like being a writer, and they go, oh, yeah, you know, what are you trying to do talking about all this love and true love? Look at yourself, you know, are you anywhere? And that kind of thing. At the beginning stage when I was going through this, and I find it very demoralizing, and because, of course, the hypersensitiveness, all right, because of what I've been going through. So I decided, like, okay, thank you, you have yours, I have mine. So I will not engage my time with them. And I will only look very carefully and choose those surrounding of people with similar thoughts so that I could grow, because I knew it's very important. I knew the energy that the people were carrying around me, that is the one is going to give me the importance to it. Now, I'm going to give a very example, another one. It's like, for example, recently I had one of my friend, which is like, I know him for last 10, 15 years, coming from the same spiritual center. But over the years, we have all been taught of the same kind of methods by our teacher. And it's because, again, it's all related to belief patterns. And see, it's everybody thinks it's like you have to be so perfect in life. That means you are fully utilizing what the teacher is teaching you. Okay. So if you done mistake, again, it's related to the past that I believe that I have carried. So it's literally also shown from the scriptures and Lamb and Wolfing. So when you know, if you done anything wrong or you say anything wrong, it's like, oh, you're not doing what he's saying, you know, that means you're not perfect and you have no right to say yourself that you are his student or you are giving examples. So I've been going through this, you know, until recently as well. And for example, I was having my lunch and I sort of like left a little bit of rice in my plate. And this person was saying, how can you just leave so little? Like, because I was really, really full and okay, I've taken a bit of extra. And I said, how can you just leave this rise? It means that you are not exercising the correct methods of disciplining yourself, in knowing how much of rice you should take for yourself. So I looked at him, I said, well, I know teacher used to put a little bit for himself. Teacher is teacher. You are not him. Look at yourself. You're not even, you know, you're still limping. And I looked at him, I said, well, whether I'm limping or whether I'm standing straight, but I know that I'm doing my part of what I believe in sharing my love. Yeah, but you don't have to preach and talk. And, you know, he was going on. I just looked at him. I was like, oh, boy. So something is reflecting inside me, and it's same thing for the last 10 years and this person. So, you see, that was the point. I just realized that sometimes you cannot change. You cannot really get yourself to prove to that person how that you have grown, what you have achieved. They cannot see that things beyond that. But, you know, because of the love of attachment of, like, for them, that you love yourself, you tend to like, okay, what makes him happy to believe what he feels to believe? And he feels that I'm not in that level. I accept it. But I will not allow the same space to come into my time. So this is an example. Like I said, every time we go through certain phases in life, even we know we have grown in our mindfulness, in awareness, our thoughts, so that we can make our life in a very self-satisfactory towards the belief patterns that we have, through the love that we have. But we will come across this again. So I always tell myself that when I come across these things, and I know the more I'm going out there, I will have all these comments and I will have all these things in life. But am I going to allow myself to again come back to the notion that I'm not good enough or I'm not able to reach? If I do that, I'll never be anywhere in my life. So this is one example that when you love yourself, you know where to give that much of energy. So if you tend to allow the hurt come to you, it naturally won't last. You tend to be more forgiving. You tend to be more loving to another person and let it go. But you will exercise it. What you feel is right aligned with you, only allow that with you. If it's not, don't linger it too long, because it's not going to be much worth it for you to allow it. And you will know that you are wasting time for your growth in life.
You know, yeah. You talk a lot about, you know, loving within and how to do that. And I think the listeners will greatly appreciate that information. In the chapter, you mentioned that we all look for outside love to fulfill us. But, you know, loving yourself, you know, comes first. That at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much we look outside of ourselves. It always means coming back to ourselves first. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. You know, we look for, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, spouses, children's love, family love. We look for love in so many different places, but we don't always go back to ourselves first. We always kind of skip that step or forget that step. You know, why is that so important? Why is it so important to start with yourself?
Yes. It's been going on. It's all the time that we always we give ourselves more to others than ourselves. I'm not saying that's wrong. Of course, Mother Teresa knew how to love herself. That's why she could always have all the energy and she's smiling all the time. And she says so many wise words. and she attracts many, 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 many of people of loving her, living herself. Why? Because she has a lot of love for herself, and she understood to have the understanding of belief patterns inside her and what is the convicting power between herself and the divine inside her. So when I keep saying that loving ourself is always related to aware, there's a huge, again, I believe the 80s will, maybe not, will agree to what I'm going to say. Again, we respect what they believe. But there is a really hidden power inside us. And it is within, it's an energy. And we need to tap in. And when we need to tap in, it's like whether you're in mindfulness or whether you're doing a meditation or whether you're doing a prayers in any sense. It creates the feeling of the good feeling of vibes, and that you know that you feel happy and joy. Immediately you feel the mind is started creating a different kind of thought wave because the feeling is there. So for example, it's like when we do any prayer, we tend to aware consciously that we are connecting with the divinity inside us. So the same goes. It's related to that love. Why? Because when we do that, it's naturally is building the love to ourselves. When we do this, we can able to understand that how deep and powerful we are. But because we have not been really educated, again, coming back to our childhood, to our projections and ideas that we've been carrying on for decades, I mean, by everyone, it doesn't matter which religion it is, but everybody is like, you do good outside, then you get good. You do well outside, then you get well. But it's never been like you need to do well inside, then so that the outside, you know, relates to it. So sometimes people tend to, I do so many times of positive affirmation. I do a lot of good work. So why my life is this way? It's kind of like they accept it. No matter how good they are, it's very normal to receive the bad thing in life. Now, that's a belief. That's just a belief. Now, if you can erase this thought that you do good, naturally it falls back and everything will be good in life. So you will see things be good. But I know today, I believe, maybe still in 70% and all over the world, they have this belief that, well, no matter how good, but you know, the good people always suffer. This is so common belief pattern. I think you agree with me, Courtney. It is so common that everybody has this belief. Now, if we just change, the good people or the bad people will naturally always receive good things. And if suffering is just a word attached, awareness that pain, negativity brings much destruction. So if you can just change that suffering, failures, it means to evolve ourselves to stronger level, to be more powerful instead of like giving us a diminishing feeling of like disability. We just need to change. You see, when we put the belief and the loving ourselves to attach to all these thought patterns, oh, believe me, life is just amazing because I have experienced it. And I understand how important it is that when we love ourselves, we attach all this feeling of belief and we're not naturally looking outside, but we look inside because what we feel ourselves, we will attract the good things. Not that by my creating outside, but the inside still don't believe, oh my God, it's not going to last. Naturally, we will be facing the same cycle over again until it hits us. Hey, something is not right here. I mean, I keep doing it. Why does this keep happening? So that's where you have to work on yourself. Oh, okay. You have to give yourself that much that you can able to give outside the same way.
You know, and I think that kind of goes into beliefs about our thoughts and actions and feelings. I think that some people fail to understand that, you know, the beliefs that you have, you know, about the love that you have within and so forth, you know, it really does affect our thoughts and actions and how we feel. You know, what do you think that we can do as individuals to work on that, to change the beliefs that affect our thoughts and our feelings and the way we love ourselves?
Okay. I believe in 2006, a very famous book, The Secret, and the video is out there, which is, I do encourage everyone, maybe some have seen it, some have, but world famous motivational video, which is really shows about all these authors and researchers. They came along and to share to the world that what is the secret of life, and it's all got to do with your belief. And it's stated inside that as well, if it's your feeling, and you still have the thoughts of good, but your feeling, it's not in the feeling of joy, but your feeling is still apprehensive and of like negative, and you're not sure it's going to happen. Naturally, that's going to be a ping-pong ball will be going on, and it's not going to happen. So the exercise toward that is to, again, fall back on, of course, to the awareness of meditation, mindfulness, be more, study the self. The right word, I would say, that it's a whole lifetime we take to study the self, to know that what is the self is projecting inside our feelings. What does the body says? What is the mind and the feeling? So when it's a bit tough because it's so much so easy to study outside subjects. But when the day we started saying, I want to learn about myself so I know how to control my emotion and put a positive thought and work align it. So when we put an effort that knowing that we want to make this happen for us, naturally the word, the sentence called study the self starts from there. And like I said, last 15 years, I've been studying myself. I've been studying like what sort of pattern thoughts I'm carrying every day. Morning, you know, like on the health side, this is my current challenges. But that is not so bad because I still go out there and do my training. And yeah, sometimes I can't stand. And people will say, oh, what happened to your knee? And it's like, yeah, I have been a dancer, you know, a sportswoman. But I said, I believe on this. I'm working on it. I'm not on drugs. And I just want to naturally bring back my invisible and strength inside me to cure. But again, if it's meant to be in the life that I have to go through, I cannot accept it. So you see, I practice this for me. I mean, and when people say, it's like, why are you not taking any drugs to, I said, no, I don't want. Why should I? I mean, I myself is a medicine to my, because if my mind has created this due to my past belief pattern, and the same mind, but it has to be an out-of-the-box of thinking. I mean, it's something like I have to go beyond to cure myself. And I know it's taking time, but again, it's like you want a permanent change, that's the permanent change. If you want a temporary change, fine, you're going to get all the medicines in the world and you're going to project all the great things you're achieving, but in the end of the day, you still feel the same pain coming back and, you know, some of us just leave the planet and that's it. So what do we achieve? You have not studied the self kind of thing to give you a permanent feeling that you're aware what is exactly you yourself is projecting towards inside you, which affects outside. So these are the exercises I've been doing. And again, I said, we need to really do this, study the self, whole life. Because every moment we interact with people, with families, with things, with everything. So when the success rate happens, we're so happy. But when the failures comes by, we like, yeah, you tend to accept it because you have this belief patterns. Yeah, because this is my worthy. But we don't have to have the feeling. We need to say, oh, this is something that I need to overcome. How do I do it? So that's where human beings need to develop their own self-inspiration, self-motivation, self-healing, self-love towards us so that they can progress. They don't do the blaming towards the outside. They start within themselves because everything is within. Hope that clarifies the question, Courtney.
Yes, it does. And I like how you said temporary fix, you know, that these changes, you know, changing these things takes time. It's not, yes. You know, walk in the park, you're done, you know, give yourself a gold star, go on your way. I think that a lot of us fail to understand that it, you know, change is one of those things that can come really fast when it wants to. And yet controlled change, you know, that's one of those things that tends to take time. It's not easy. That's why it's called change. So I'm glad that you brought that up. you know, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because so often I hear, well, I want that to change. And it's one of those things where you have to kind of look at it and go, but can you control it? Because if you can't control it, then obviously you cannot change it. You have no right. If it is something that you can control, you know, even by changing your actions, your thoughts, your belief patterns about it, then that's where you need to start. You know, it's not going to be easy. It never is. It's so easy. Like, so many people will say, well, I forgive you. But really, they don't. It's so easy to change, to say the words, but yet they don't change the belief. You know, they don't work on what's really required and needed to change that belief.
Exactly. So true, Courtney, and I'm so glad we aligned. And yeah, it's just that, again, it's because, you know, they keep looking out for convicting that this is right, this is the truth. But it's, again, it's not forced back to the inside. So, yeah, it becomes very superficial towards, more towards the outside projections and ideas, not to the inside. So change is always, again, we have this belief pattern. I was just about to say change is always difficult, right? But again, we keep changing, we keep saying that change is easy, and we have to do this control over ourselves, so it becomes easier. So that itself is a belief pattern, isn't it, Courtney?
It's definitely something to keep in mind. I don't know if you're willing to do this, but one of the questions that I had for you was, can you give an example of one of the hardest beliefs you've had to overcome? I don't know if you're willing to share that with the listeners.
Oh, yeah, the hardest belief, yes, sure, I would love to share it. Okay, actually, there's a few. I was just thinking a couple of seconds. Achieving to accept myself to be loved. Because of, like, a childhood, I've been surrounded by all this rejections of humans around me I'm saying it as if I'm not a human. I'm human myself. So I'm just saying in a way of, like, people around me who keep showing that there's a feeling inside me after my mom died, right? There's always been this feeling inside me that I'm a bad luck person, and that I am the one who created a lot of grievance for the family. My father had to suffer, and a lot of things, pain, poverty, and all those things. So, and when always some, a lot of mishaps, arguments happen, and it's always related to me, because, like, I'm very truthful towards my words. So sometimes when I've been speaking what my heart says, and it's been misinterpreted by another party, and that's caused a lot of arguments. And then I will tell to myself, oh, why can't I just shut up? And when you shut up, it's like you have to, you kind of, like, you suppress your feelings of being who you are. So this thing of being bad luck and not being loved is one of the worst thing that I have to go through. And I keep believing that everywhere I go, I'm causing pain to people. I'm causing a lot of problems, because it's happening with the family and all that. But over the years, as I was surrounded by good friends, and they started showing me that how me being with them, that makes them laugh. So I started feeling more wanted. And then while I was working, and I realized that how I was excelling my work and how my bosses used to love me and my workmates. So that gave me a lot of confidence that I was loved by people who's not related and loved. So, but still in the end, when you go back to people who are related to you, and it's like for me, and it still falls back certain things. So it was very difficult. And that is where when my teacher started teaching me about love and fear, and I was working on myself, on removing my fears and changing my belief thought patterns. And we tend to face for people who just refuse to see things that we have changed. And that's happened to me, and still to today. But I'm not, at first it was very difficult. It's like, how long I'm going to battle this? How long am I going to prove to these people around me that I can do it. But I told myself that, well, first of all, I've got to accept it, that it's me who has done it and I have changed. And if they have problem, it's their belief system. So it's like I have to edit myself. I have to study myself to make that belief very strong so that I don't allow it to keep going down, because my self-esteem will be making me believe that I have not worked, nothing has worked in me. So this was the toughest part of me, and of course I'm working towards it. Like yesterday, I was just like to share, it's just my daughter, and she just got, in Malaysia we have this, after high school you sit for the government exam. So my daughter is 18 years old, so she received for 3 months, she was like, oh, I don't know what results I'm going to get. But we knew what she got for her trials. So naturally, we thought that what she's going to get is about that. But again, she came back and said, Mommy, it's so tough. I'm not sure it's going to do. You know, and I've been a single mom. I was totally nothing, and I didn't know where will my life be. Poverty, and I was like living in nomads. I was living in suitcases. And I know I struggled, and money, everything was in debt, and, you know, health and relationship, all too much of, I'm sure there's many of us of going through this phase. But I never believed that what my daughter made me felt yesterday, I felt that, wow. I mean, it's like I keep receiving a lot of great achievements in my life for the last few 2 years. And I can see all the fruits that because I keep changing myself. And that's, for example, she brought in a very good result. And I was like, wow. But when seeing her giving me the feeling of being a mother, because from nothing, and today that, I would say it's a pride to say my daughter excellent, did her results. No matter she may not be the best of the best, but she did very excellent at her level, because she actually had failed 2 years ago in the maths and science, and she was like, you know, she worked very hard. So she was sick on that time, and she had to sit for the exam. So she was getting like few A's, you know, like 8, 9 A's. So when the results came, because of that day, she was very, very sick with high fever. She had, you know, really, really did it badly. So that has affected her for the next level, for her to go into another stream for the next 2 years. And so she decided to just go on. But it didn't, her belief pattern, because of that, when people around her asked her, oh, my dear, so how did you do? And she said, yeah, I got 5 A's. So what do you got for maths and science? Oh, I didn't do well. So they'll give her all kind of looks. And she was like, she comes and say, Mommy, this thing, I will never allow myself to go through again. I looked at her, I said, Ravina, there's always something in life that happened that's only for us to aware that we need to change ourselves. You don't have to put your anger towards the other person, because that's not going to be good for you at all, I said. So she worked on herself. She put all those things on the wall, and she worked on herself. And, of course, yesterday was her achievement, and I feel what she did for herself for 2 years, and of course with all of us around. So that made me feel that I have changed more inside me. And not only that, it's like recently I came up in one of her local magazines, and I was chosen as one of the 20 women inspiring in Malaysia. And I was among, well, these women are very powerful. And I was like, feeling, oh my God, I'm nothing, but, you know, I have achieved this. I was so thankful to the editor for giving me this platform. So these achievements have made me realize that how I've changed. But I still have some people out there who sees me in different sense. But that is my belief pattern. So I work on myself and say, hey, they have the right what they want to believe, because they need to see in a different way. If they can't, I can't do anything. And if they can't be in my call, I can't do anything as well. So this is what other thing I say when I thought I was that loud. Today, that has changed. That has changed 360 degrees.
Well, that's awesome, and congratulations, and thank you so much for sharing that. And you can tell your daughter congratulations as well. You know, it's interesting that you brought up her education, because you actually mentioned education in the chapter, and how you think that you know, the topic of love within us and unconditional love should be taught in schools. You know, how do you think that should work? You know, why do you think that is so important for us to maybe instill in our educational systems?
Yes, it is very important. You see, it's like again, because I'm very thankful to have a child. So to be a mother, that I could experience these things, because naturally we go through ourselves in our schools. Now, if love ourselves is being a, one of the subject matter that is provided in the schools, I'm very sure that everybody know how, because true loving, when you've been, we've been educated, how do we love? Like, we know that what are the words, thought patterns, it's the morality of life. When it's that, it is an education by itself, and it's like, it's a must. So then, of course, the children, the teenagers will exercise on it. And when they do exercise, it builds an energy inside them, and it becomes a collective huge power, you know. And that will affect not only, of course, the children's growth, but it's, of course, the environment, the world perceptions and many things. And, of course, that's where the self-study will start. It's like they will start being aware what is in the mind, what is it affecting them. I mean, as for example, my daughter is like, okay, I'm not saying she's a guinea pig, but I was trying my best to see, well, what I couldn't achieve, I wanted her to achieve. Well, most parents have that, right? Most parents, they do. And that's because, like, they felt that they want to do it. But here, it's what I'm saying, it's like, fine. But comes back to me, I couldn't achieve, I wanted to achieve. But simultaneously, I also wanted to see that how that what I believe was right when I was doing to her. See, when it comes to her, I used to tell her, you got to do it, the mirror work, you know. And it's great, like, she does practice it on and off. But being a teenager, it's very difficult because the discipline affects there. You know, wake up late, morning and stuff like that. So, again, it's because the mind is very active and it is so full of naughtiness and all that. So, but the high sensitive, because the development from the children to adulthood is happening. So we need to know where it triggers. We need to know where, how it can be touching. Okay, look, this is what happened. What are the subjects we can speak so that they are aware these are the subjects that is important in their head. So it relatively know how to love themselves. So like for herself, I always say that, you know, Ravina, paste it. What you must have a vision board. And you need to do it, and because when you wake up, you know that what is the first words come in your mind. And of course, I've been educating her on gratitude, of how to write gratitude. I'm not saying that she's doing it very regularly, but she's aware of this. And I keep saying to her, open her heart and love herself even more, and so that she can. I mean, like, our relationship between me and her, and, of course, between her, my second husband, and the father as well, that she understands how that this is going to work by loving herself. And she was, you know, it was a joke a few days ago. Her dad is down, and, you know, there was some conversation I was telling her. I said, my dear, you need to open up yourself to understand, because I know you don't see your dad very often, but you need to have an understanding to make him know you, or to you to know him. You need to open up yourself. And she says, Mommy, what? Open up means I'm going to die. my heart. I need to open up my heart. I said, my dear, opening up your heart means is feeling the love and looking in another person in a point blank. You don't have any thought patterns there. And less of love flow. And it's like when your dad is in front of you and he's going through you, because you have not seen, so you have not grown up with him. Though he's been there, but, you know, I'm with you. So you know me. You can be open with me in every sense. As for him, you need to have an opening feeling inside you and say, okay, I want to hear him. The listening factor. And keep probing and keep talking to him and understanding, like, what are the things, what is he saying, what can you relate to it. And I said, when you do that, then you will understand how the understanding becomes really into the relationship becomes good. Of course, they both love each other a lot, but I'm sure around the world in many divorce cases excuse me every parents goes through, like me, would love to see things goes better. And I have a helper, and she was saying, you know, I have not seen any parents divorce and remarry, and they get together happily. She said, Ravina is very blessed to see she has a stepdad there, and she has her dad as well. So she said, I'm a bit jealous. So I said, well, so I said, hey, you know, you need to work to live with it. So she said, yeah, but, you know, she said, wow, this is remarkable. I said, that is what I've been working on this for the last 10 years. And seeing this thing happening in front of me, and it's what really my heart wants. And I believe there are many, 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 many families can do it. We don't need to hate one another. So education, and this has been brought up in the school, I'm sure it will save a lot of families for building grudges or hatreds or, you know, even doing all those anything negative, like killing or whatever, soever. It actually creates a better human being. And I'm sure our crime rate will be lower. And, of course, we will be more better people who is like, they know. You see, another thing is about in education into self-love. People compete a lot. We've been in the school, it's always a lot of competition. It's like, how many A's you get? What's your grades and your CGPs and ETCs? The best students, of course, it's always the best. It's always is number one. But if an education or self-love is there, the word competition, it shouldn't be given so much a preference, because competition creates barriers to understand another human being. So if we eliminate this competition, we need to educate our children, students, that competition, it's not to create a being that you are better than another person. They equally have their own power, but we respect one another. We appreciate one another. What we do, we good for us. What you do is good for you. So when that becomes a person, naturally, you know, our life will start changing. We don't have all these grudges, jealousies, all this negative, you know. That's why the power of love, education is very important. That's how I see this in future. If it's all the school around the world that put this in, rather than all the past history of subjects which is always been giving a preference towards that, put this as a main important. I'm very sure, Courtney, the world will become a so much a better person than where it is today.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I know that we're getting down to about the last 2 minutes of the show, so I like to read the last, you know, my favorite quote from the book, depending on the chapter. In this chapter, my favorite quote was, believing in something is about creating a new change or sustaining it for better success. When in the path of loving ourselves completely, a total 100%, it is so crucial to have within, no matter how great or bad the situation that goes through for betterment, never shake the new belief system, but gradually give assurance within that all is well. And you quoted this from Louise Hayes, which I do admire her. But I really like the quote because you talked about, you know, if you're going to believe in yourself, you have to do it 100%. You can't just do it halfway. So I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a very valid point that a lot of the listeners could take to heart. You know, you don't do something percent. You don't do something 10%. You have to do it 100% to get a result. So, you know, truly loving yourself, truly believing within, truly changing your belief systems, that takes 100%. So I'd like to leave the listeners with that quote. Is there anything else you would like to add, Karim?
Oh, Courtney, thank you so much. I'm really appreciating each time that you pick a very nice quote and ending it very nicely and beautifully. And yes, well, I just want to say that this word, this sentence is never give up. It's one of the most priority in belief system. Every day in life, no matter you put 100% or how many percent you put, but you keep putting it until you realize that this is a journey of life. You keep doing it, you will get there. It's nothing. It's not about giving up. It's just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Well, thank
you. That's
all
I want to say. And thank you so much, Courtney. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. And thank you all, everybody. Blessings of love from me. Till we meet again.
Awesome. Well, you have a wonderful rest of the month, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Yes, great. See you the next one. Thank you, Courtney. You too. Have a great moment.
Thank you. If you've just tuned in, you're listening live with Empower, True Love, Empower Your Inner Self. We were just discussing Chapter 5 of the book, Truly Love Me by Krim. Next month, we'll be discussing Chapter 6, which is Never Fear Losing Love. I'm really interested to talk about that one. If you'd like more information about Krim or to purchase her book, you can go to BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. Click on True Love, Empower Your Inner Self. All of Krim's information is there, along with her website, KrimLove.com. And until next time, good night.